individual that is under the sound of my voice, I pray, God, that a fresh surrender would be in our hearts. A fresh yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. I pray, God, today as we open your word and we get ready to walk in the paths that you've laid out before us, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to understand and eyes to see, so that we don't just walk out of here having heard another message, but this becomes something that we can apply to our lives. Speak to us, oh God. Somebody in this room wants to hear you. Somebody in this room is saying, God, I need a word from you. Today we ask, God, that you would do that, and we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. On your way down, I just want you to touch two or three people and tell them, get into shape, get into shape. Get into shape, get into shape. They're not being rude, they're just giving you the actual title of my message today. We've been talking about getting into shape. And I'm not just talking about exercising, working out, lifting weights, and all of those wonderful things. I'm talking about getting into the shape that God has preordained for your life, because he has a plan and you are part of his plan. And we have actually taken our text from Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. And I love the way it comes across in the Message Bible. And here's what it says. He said, before I shaped you, so now we know we're shaped. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, even in your darkest moments, I had holy plans for you. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Here's what those plans were. He was talking to Jeremiah here. He said, a prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. Whew, if we could only get it that clear. You know what I'm saying? If he would just say, this is what I had in mind for you. I want to use you to do this. Sometimes it seems like if it was a little bit clear, maybe we could grab hold of it a little bit easier. But he said to him, I want to raise you up as a prophet to the nations. Now, I guarantee that if you read his story, you'll see that he had some moments where he wanted to throw in the towel. He wanted to just forget about it. And even then he couldn't, because he said that it was like fires that were shut up in his bones. And my question, I want to begin really today with a question to you. And I want to ask you, have you ever lived through or walked through a season in your life where you made decisions or you made choices or you made plans that you eventually, over a certain amount of time, maybe you finally came to understand that this was not the plans or the decisions or the choices that God had made for your life? Is there anybody besides me in this room that would be honest today? If I could be honest, I would put up both hands and both feet and say, yes, there's been a few times in my life that I really thought this was God and this was the way I was going to go. But at the end of the day, it really wasn't what he had planned at all. When things like that happen, then what ends up happening is you end up going on a detour. You end up maybe even being delayed, or you find yourself distracted. But one thing for sure is that it ends up being it appears to end up being a huge waste of time, and it is very, very frustrating. To me, when I waste my time. Now, what you define as wasting time and what I define as wasting time might be two different things. But I don't like to waste my time. It's kind of like, you know, when you used to have to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and you had to stand in line halfway out the door, and it didn't matter what day you went, it was always a long line. And then by the time you did make it up to the actual person that was supposed to help you, you were one document short. You know what I mean? So they're like, no, we need you to get this particular slip. And you're like, so I just stood in line all this time for absolutely nothing. There's nothing as frustrating as wasting your time. What's even more frustrating to me is when people come to church for years and years and years. I was born on Easter Sunday. My dad was a pastor, so I've been in the church all of my life. And so I've been in the church for 58 years, but I know that there are a lot of people that's been in the church a long time, and they still have it is still said of them that I've been saved a while. I've been coming to church for a while, but I still don't really know, if I'm honest with you, Pastor Brady, I don't really know the will of God for my life. And it's amazing that if you ask that question across the board in Christendom, there are a lot of people that have been in church all their life, but they don't necessarily know the will of God for their lives. And we can blame it on whatever. You can blame it on the preacher. You can blame it on the particular church that you're in. You can blame it on your spouse or your parents, but whatever. But at the rate that time is wrapping up and we are losing it, it's time for us to stop blaming anybody, and it's time for us to start taking ownership of what the purpose of God is for our individual lives. We got to find out what that is, and we've got to own it. One of the reasons that a lot of people don't know the will of God for their life is because they don't know the Word of God. You can go to church all of your life, hear the word, but not really know the word, okay? The word of God will help us to understand the will of God. I said the word of God will help us to understand the will of God. So somebody might say, well, how can you tell me? I've been in the church all my life. How can you tell me I don't know the word of God? Well, let me tell you this. If you've been coming to church for years, if you've been listening to the preacher for years, and you still don't know the will of God for your life, there ought to be something in you that clicks and says, something is missing here. Something is missing because I should be further along than I am. I should understand a little bit more than I understand. And one of the reasons for that is when we first really come to God, maybe somebody brought you to the house of God, and you heard the preacher. You hear them. You have this filter that is a filter of inspiration. So you come to church, and everything you hear that even remotely lines up with your life, you grab hold of that because it inspires you. You might come in broke, and you hear somebody say, this is just an example, you hear somebody say, the Lord is a provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. So because you might be in a certain financial situation, you grab hold of that because it inspires you and it gives you hope. Somebody might come in with a broken heart, having lost maybe a family member, having lost a marriage, having lost something, and you hear that God is a healer of the brokenhearted. And you grab hold of that simply because it inspires you. It's coming through your filter of inspiration. Somebody might come to church and feel like they are absolutely alone, and you hear somebody say, you are never alone, because he said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you grab hold of that thing because you feel as if you are alone. And all of that is great, and all of that is wonderful, and we have all been there before, and we will all be there again. The word of God is, there is an inspiration on the word of God. But when it becomes a problem is when we continuously come to church simply for inspiration. There ought to be a point in our life where we go get beyond just inspiration, and we come with an understanding that says, I am here to, yes, be inspired, but I'm also here to learn how to take what I have heard that has inspired me and make it applicable in my life. So we move from inspiration to application. Somebody says, what does that look like? That looks like I might have come here, I might have heard that God, Jehovah Jireh, is my provider, but I've went a step beyond that now. And I was broke, but I've learned how to operate in the principles of God. I've even learned how to stand when it looks like I don't know where the next anything is coming from. And I've learned how to say, but he is my provider. And it's not just because I'm inspired, but I've made it applicable in my life. I came, I had a broken heart, but now I've learned that he is a healer of broken hearts. And I don't just say he healed me so I could be healed, but I take that word and I pass it along, and I find somebody else with a broken heart, and I say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to bind those who were brokenhearted. Yes, I know what it's like to feel alone, but I also know how to stand by faith and stand on the promises of God that says, even though I might live alone and sleep alone and shop alone and eat alone. When it's all said and done, I am never alone because he is with me. And so that's how we begin to grow. We take the word from just inspiring us, and we move to the point where we learn how to apply that word to our lives. So we move from the journey of inspiration over into application. And when we do that, we can boldly stand and say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able. In other words, I've tried him in this. I've tried him in that, and you will never be able to take that experience away from me, because now I have tried him and I know he's my provider. I know he's my healer. I know he's my comforter. I know him for myself. So it's okay to hear the word and be inspired. That's what it's about. But there does come that point that we have got to move. Look at somebody and tell them it's time to move. There is a point in our life where we no longer just come to church to be inspired. Or we no longer come saying, oh, I'm just here to get mine. We send our kids over to that side and we come in this side and we were like, you go over there and get yours and I'm gonna go over here and get mine. But can I ask you, what if God was counting on your hallelujah in the atmosphere to break something open for somebody that's sitting in your vicinity? But you are so busy trying to get it all that belongs to you that he can't even use you because you're so busy trying to get yours. Because let me tell you something. Every hallelujah is not created equal. I said every hallelujah is not created equal. There are people that have a hallelujah that has equity built into it. They have something called equity. You know what that is? It's something that develops over time. It's value that comes over time. And so one person might say hallelujah, but there is another person that can say hallelujah. And when they say it, all that they've been through and all that they've accomplished and all that God has done in their life, it carries weight in the atmosphere. Those are the people that cannot come in here and say, I'm here to get mine. No, I'm here to add to the service. I'm here to add my hallelujah. I'm here to help break every yoke. I don't stand with the microphone, but I bet you on the third row, I can say hallelujah. And everything in my vicinity that's tied up has to get free because there's equity. There's equity. I know in whom I have believed. Woo. Hallelujah. We cannot continuously live our lives with a consumer mentality when it comes to God, when it comes to his house. We can't come with, I'm here to consume. I'm here to get what's mine. We have to allow ourselves to grow and move into the place where we say, I'm not here just to be a consumer. I am here to be a contributor. If my voice is not in the atmosphere, something is missing. I can't allow myself to walk in here and have a bad day because I'm responsible for the atmosphere. Are y'all following me? I can't walk out here on Sunday morning with my head down and be all in a bad kind of mood because it's going to affect the atmosphere. And it is my job to walk out here and speak life to the atmosphere, to put worship in the atmosphere, because nobody that walks in here bound should have to walk out of here free. I mean, should have to walk out here without being free. We have too much equity in us. So that means while I'm sitting here, I can't just be a consumer. I've got to shift my mind and say, okay, Lord, while I am eating, I am praying now that you would help me to convert what I am eating in this place today into food for somebody else that I might run into this week. Help me, God, not to be just about getting mine, but help me get enough for me, for mine, and for everything that's around me. Can I tell you that the Potter's House North was never meant to be a daycare service? Okay, it was. Now, you know me, and I love people to get saved, and I'm going to go for that just about every time when I get through toward the end of my message. I'm going to open up the altar. I'm going to open up a way to Christ. I'm going to help introduce you to him. But the truth of the matter is, at some point, we're not going to just stay there. We expect you to grow. okay? Because I don't, there's too much in me, and I've had too many experiences in my life. I just refuse to believe that God would just pick me up and set me down in Dallas just so that I could spend my entire ministry babysitting, pampering people, petting people, pumping up people. Come on, you ought to praise God. And most of them people that you're babysitting, petting, and pampering are people who are who have been in the church forever, and they're just grumbling and they're complaining. You know why? Because they've been overfed for years and they have not learned how to walk out what they have been fed. So they are gassy church members. They go over here a while and eat, and then they get all gassed up, and then they come over here and eat. And what we do is we just keep putting it in, but we never let any of it out. That's why the Dead Sea, you heard Chris say it last week, the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it takes in all the time, but it never finds a way to give something out. I am here to challenge you, to provoke you, to raise you up, and to pour into the lives of people who are determined to grow in God. I don't want to stay the same. Look at somebody and tell him, I want to grow. I am called here to reproduce in you what has been produced in me, in order that you might walk out of here and reproduce it in your life and in the lives of people that are around you. It is my job to educate, to stretch, and to grow you so that you can bring forth fruit that is pleasing to God. That's the whole point. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He's saying now, look, it's time for you to get a hold of this. Now it's time, it's up to you now. That's what Paul is saying. It is your responsibility now. He's saying, because of everything I have given you, you have got to be careful that you take heed. Somebody say, take heed. What does that mean? That means be on guard. That means pay attention. That means listen up. That means lean in. Because you have received great teaching. And if you've received great teaching, you have to be careful with how you handle that great teaching. Because to whom much is given, much is required. With every blessing, there comes a level of personal responsibility. And one of the worst things that we can do is to come into a church that solidly teaches us the word of God and come in with a mindset that says, I'm here to be entertained. Oh, absolutely not. I don't preach Sunday after Sunday just so I can entertain you. I preach Sunday after Sunday so I can equip you so that you can go out and do the work of ministry. Once I have equipped you, you got to go out and you got to tell what you know. You got to take heed. See, it is your job to eat it, to digest it, to apply it, and make it a part of your everyday life, not just your weekend life. But your everyday life. And then after you've made it a part of your life, you take it and you pass it on over to those who which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Those that God has given you influence over. You cannot afford to ever again go to work without answers. You do understand you are not on that job just because you need a paycheck. You are there because of purpose. I said you are there because of purpose. And so you ought to walk into that place, not with the mentality that says I'm going to put my time in so I can get my paycheck. Yes, that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, I'm here because God has a purpose for me being here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So I got to walk in and I got to have answers. I got to be able to take the word that I have heard and be able to use it to answer the questions things that are around me. So it is my job to equip, to enlarge you and to feed you and to influence you. But it is your job. That's how the kingdom is established. You walk out of here and you take it to North Dallas. You take it to the East. You take it to South. You take it to Fort Worth. You take it to Plano. You take it to Frisco. You take it to Little Elm. So it's no longer just right here, but it is us spreading the gospel, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. My job to feed you, but it is your job to take what you have been given and use it over the ones that you have been given influence. That means that you've got to take what I have made palatable. You know what that means, right? When I take something and make it palatable, it's like a mother would take a piece of bread and soften it up, chew it, make it, smash it around so that that baby can eat that. That's what I do. I take the word, I make it palatable. And it's your job to take what I have made palatable to you and make it palatable to your family. So I come in on a Sunday talking to you about God's glory and God's grace, and you take it out of here and you take it to your kids and you have discussion around the dinner table about God's glory and God's presence, and you do it in a way that they can comprehend it. You take it to your family. You take it to your co-workers. You cannot afford to not have answers. You can't tell me you've been in the church for 58 years and not have something to say. You got to take it to your classmates. Take it to your friends in the barbershop. Take it to your friends in the beauty shop. When somebody wants to talk about gossip, open your mouth and talk about the word. Hello. If you don't take the word that has been given to you to the boardroom, if you don't take it to the bank, if you don't take it to your strategy meetings, if you don't take it to your innovative meetings, if you don't take what I've given you and use it to influence other people, then the blood will be on your hands and it will not be on mine. You've got to take this word. You've got to rehearse it. You've got to repeat it. You've got to recount it. You've got to replay it. You've got to reenact it. And you've got to retell it. Look at your neighbor and say, tell it. Look at them again and say, tell it. Tell it everywhere you go. Tell it to everybody you meet. Apply it, model it, and tell it. What do you mean tell it? Talk this word. If you have to look in the mirror and you ain't got nobody else to talk to, look in the mirror and tell yourself you have been chosen by God. In your mother's womb, he formed you. He made you. He had holy plans for your life. Look at somebody and say, tell it. Because if you don't tell it, you don't know it. Hello? I said, if you don't tell it, you don't know. The only way you know that you really know it is when you can in turn tell it. Somebody get Joey for me. Where is Joey? Is he in children's church? Somebody go get him for me. You have to be able to tell it. The problem with us is we've come to church for years and we've heard it. And because we've heard it, we think we know it. Are you hearing me today? We think we know it, but the truth of the matter is it goes in one ear and it comes out the other. And then when you hear somebody tell it again, you're refreshed. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. But you don't really know it until you have the ability to stand and tell it. Look at somebody and say, it's your time to tell it. Tell it at the dinner table. Tell it at the workplace. Tell it on the mountain. Tell it over the hills. Tell it everywhere. It's not good enough to be open to it. It's not good enough to be able to hear it. It's not good enough to have a pastor who is a good preacher. You have got to be able to tell it. So funny, because I was talking about this in the first service, and I went back to change, getting ready for this service, and I heard Joey talking to Papa, and he started telling us what he had told them over there. He had a verse which was really, how was it? The foundation of your life, is that what it was? It kind of represents the foundation of your life. I love these looks. Say it again.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
So, okay, watch. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he didn't stop there. He started telling us what that means. Look at somebody, say, tell it, tell it. So Joey started telling us what that meant. What does that mean, Joey?
To me, that means if, like, somebody's, like, if you lost somebody, if something is that bad's going on in your life right now, you still have the confidence just stand up, and you still can put a smile on your face and say that I'm a worshiper of the Lord, and I'm proud to be that.
Somebody say, tell it! Tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere! Some people know scripture, but they know this book. They got scripture memorized, but they don't know the author of this book because it's stuck in their head. It's never got worked out in their life. Look at somebody and say, it's time to tell it. Woo! Give Joey a hand. You know what? Did you see him? When he started telling us what that meant, he started searching for words. So it wasn't always, not always easy to tell it. But the more you tell it, the easier it's going to get. You got to be confident enough to stand up and say, I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I know things are bad, but I choose to smile because I am a worshiper of God. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And if Josiah Baker can stand up and talk to this room, don't tell me you can't talk to your coworkers, or you can't talk it in the barbershop, or you got to be able to not only contain it, you got to convey it. Contain and convey. Contain. Look at somebody. Tell them, contain and convey. Thank you, buddy. Woo! Tell it. Tell it. You've got to contain it, and you've got to convey it. So, the last few weeks, we've been talking about getting into the shape that God has preordained for our life. So what should have happened is we should have been thinking. You should have been thinking, rehearsing. You should have been talking to everybody you see. Everybody that's in your sphere of influence. Anybody that will listen to you. You ought to be telling them, you need to get in shape. And I don't mean just on the treadmill. I don't mean just on the elliptical. All of that's great. But you need to get in the shape, S-H-A-P-E, that God has ordained you to be in. You ought to be able to look at people who might come to work discouraged and say, listen, God has a plan for your life. You ought to be able to look at people who feel like, man, I just didn't get what I feel like I should have got. I don't even know if God even meant for me to be here. You need to be able to look at them and say, let me tell you something. Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5. Somebody say that. Jeremiah 1:5. Say it again. Jeremiah tells us that God knew you before you ever drew a breath, before your eyes ever saw the light of day, before you ever had a birthday, before you ever lived one day. God knew you. He had plans for you, holy plans for your life. You ought to look at people and tell them you are here because God willed you to be here. And nothing you have been through has killed you out of everything you've been through. You better stop and think about that. If you are still here, there is a reason that you are here. You are here because your creator, the creator of the entire universe, nodded his head and gave you access to life in this dimension. He looked at you, nodded his head, and said, go now. I've given you access, and no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Woo! Please understand, you are not here because your mama and daddy got together and had a great idea. You are here because God said, I'm going to use the DNA of that man, and I'm going to use the DNA of that woman, and somehow I'm going to produce somebody that I'm going to use for my glory. And even if it was a bad situation, he knows how to take what's bad and work it together for... When he made you, if you are living an unfulfilled, unhappy life, if you are living with this relentless, nagging soul that cannot be silenced. It's just always tossing and turning. It's because God has made you for something. He has a plan for your life. He has what we've been talking about, a shape. And he has shaped you according to that plan. We took the word shape. We broke it down. We use it as an acronym. Here's how your shape is determined. S means your spiritual gifts. So you have to look at the spiritual gifts that God has given you. I gave you a few of them a couple weeks ago. H stands for your heart. It stands for your passion. It stands for things that trigger your compassion. Whenever something triggers your compassion, it's a sign that you are part of the solution. Whenever something moves you, it's a sign that you are here for a reason. A speaks of our abilities, certain abilities. I show you in scripture where God has given each of us certain abilities. P is for our personality. He made me like he made me. I cautioned you not to try to break your child or change their personality. Don't try to change it. It might get on your nerves, but know when it's all said and done that some way, somehow, God has a hand in all of it. Hello. And then E stands for your experiences. It's the things that we go through that make us who we are. We don't like to go through them, but I'm telling you, probably 95% of what I have been through in life, I documented it in my head because I knew it wasn't just for me. I knew at some point I was going to take what I experienced and I was going to be able to relate what I experienced to somebody else. And I was going to be able to look at them and say, if God brought me out of that, rest assured that the same God that brought me out of it is able to bring you out of it. The things that you are going through are what makes you who you are. Don't despise them. Just say, God, give me the grace to endure what I have to endure so that when I come out of here, I come out of it with fruit. It looked like a fruitless situation, but I'm going to come out with some fruit and I'm going to tell it to somebody else and they're going to come out with fruit and they're going to tell it to somebody else who's going to come out with fruit and people's lives are going to be exchanged totally because of our experiences. So our shape helps point us in the direction of the plan and the will of God for our lives. So in order to find real fulfillment in our lives, tell somebody you got to get in shape. To me, there's nothing that's more fulfilling than for me to be in my element. You know when you're in your element. When you are in your element, you're like, oh, I got this. Oh, this is what y'all need. I got it. I'm the answer to that problem. Because you are in your element. But there's also nothing more frustrating than to be put in something that is outside of your element. I don't want you to stick me in something that's outside of my element. See, being in our element and being in the place that God has ordained for us is where our gift is at its best. It's where our gift gets its highest use. For instance, I could pull out a piano and I could try to play. By the way, I was going to tell y'all this today. Some of you just, you may not know this, but we do have a live band. They are not playing with soundtracks, okay? Behind the screen, we have some incredible musicians. Woo, that's right. They're in their element. They're doing their thing. So I could pull out a keyboard, start playing with them with what little bit I know. But I promise that wouldn't be the best and the highest use of me as a pastor. What is the best and the highest use of me is if you would set me down in the middle of a crisis. I have an ability to get into your crisis and pull out ways to bring some immediate relief. I'm a stabilizer by nature. I stabilize things. It may not last very long, but I guarantee it's going to be stable when I walk away from it. Why? Because it is my gift. Hello. I said it is my gift. It's where I function the best. It's what I'm good at. It's where you get the best of me at. It's part of my purpose. It's part of my assignment. When I'm in my assignment, when I'm in my element, when I am in my God-given shape, it brings a great sense of fulfillment to me, just like it brings to you. The flip side to that is, because there's always a flip side, if you set me down and I don't know my assignment, and I'm not in my purpose, and I'm not in the shape that God has ordained me to be in, then I spend my life working at a job that makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't understand it. I'm unfulfilled. I'm unproductive. I'm unhappy, and I'm unsuccessful. Can I tell you today that a successful life is not an accident? You don't go to bed being who you are and wake up as a bodybuilder and have muscles that you didn't have before you went to bed. It just doesn't work like that. You set a goal and you start moving toward that goal. And then when you lay down and you wake up, you realize I did something to get where I am. And so I say all of that to say that success means it's the progress of achievement of a God-intended goal. Whenever you start focusing on a God-intended goal, He enables you to progress toward achieving it. And the way that we discern and discover the God-intended goals in our life is to understand our shape. I want you to look at somebody and tell them, I am going to get in shape. Here's what I want to say, and I'm almost finished. Here's my point. We are all different. We've been created different. We bring different things to the table. I sat one day and I started evaluating my family, and I thought, let me just go one by one. And I looked at Bishop and I thought, this man is apostolic. He is prophetic. He has the ability. Those that have an apostolic ministry, I don't just mean like the, you know, traditional, oh, I'm apostolic. I mean, functions in the like an apostle. An apostle has the ability to take a tree and knock it to the ground. Okay, they are movers and shakers, and they are very apostolic. They are very prophetic. They can walk in and speak one word and change everything. Bishop can walk in, totally speak a word and rock everything. Trees hit the ground. Okay, and he can walk back out. My gift is that of a pastor. I walk in and I see the wood. And I'm like, okay, let me see. Now that this tree is down, show me, let me figure out how to make some furniture out of this wood that's laying there. I am a pastor. He can come in and speak a word, and then I can come behind it, and I can find a way to help you receive what the apostle or the prophet has just said to you, okay? And he functions in both of those at times. So, but for the majority, that's how I kind of looked at us. I look at Lana. Lana has the gift of compassion. She loves children. She loves to take children, and she loves to minister to them on the level that they are on, okay? Then I look at Tina, and Tina is the kind of person that has the gift of administration, okay? She ain't gonna do it all, but she's gonna find people who will. Okay, that just happens to be her gift. Other than outside of the obvious, which is worshiping and leading us into worship, there is the gift of administration. Then I look at Nina, and you don't see Nina a whole lot. She don't take a microphone a whole lot, but she has a very strong spirit of discernment. So Nina is like, you know, the old saying used to be, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Well, so when Nina says something, we kind of all lean in and we listen. Why? Because that is her gift. She has the gift of discernment. I look at Chris. Chris has the ability to not only play, but he's got gifts that are yet waking up inside of him. He's the kind of guy that can stand in the middle of two warring spirits and say, this is what they mean, and this is what they want you to understand. And he can merge those things together. I look at Travis. Travis is just a flat-footed preacher who can stand up here and stomp his foot and shake heaven and earth, okay? I look at Mark. Mark has the ability to get us outside of this building. He gets us outside of this place. He is the person who will and it's truly not just his only gift. He's a very gifted person. But for what he does here, sometimes he'll take what we do on Sunday morning and take it to the world. I can preach it all day long, but I need somebody that has the ability to get it out through through social media so that people in Afghanistan, people around the world, wherever they might be, can hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of them have diverse gifts and they can do so much more. But the truth of the matter is we're all different for a reason. If all of us only led praise and worship, think about how many other areas would go untouched. So therefore, I want you to understand, we are all created different for a reason. He has given us all different assignments, different skills. He's given you different resources, and he's given them to you based on his assignment for your life. He gave you everything you needed that to do what you were created to do. I didn't even know I was a preacher, let alone a minister, let alone a pastor. I had no idea I was supposed to preach till I was 32. Are y'all following me? I didn't even have the ability to communicate. I was happy being a behind the scenes person. Some of y'all are like, you are lying. I can tell right now. But it's the truth. People that knew me then and know me now, they just are like, wow, what happened to you? All I can say is that there was something that God put in me when he was forming me in my mother's womb. There was a plan that he said that he had for me, and he put that plan inside of me. He didn't wake everything up at one time. He woke the preacher up at 32. Hello. He woke the pastor up at 38. Are y'all listening to me? It's like timed release things. It's like you take a time release capsule. You don't get the full impact at once, because sometimes if you get the full impact, you blow it and you mess it up. But God said, if I can trust you with this, then I got more. But I'm going to release it in my time. I'll release it in my seat, because I know when you're ready for it. I know when you can handle it. I know when your family can handle it. I know when you are ready for what I've been getting you ready for all of your life. And when I say it's time, I will jump on the stage of your life, and I'll take you from the background and move you to the forefront. And you're not going to miss it. You're not going to fail, because I have brought you to the kingdom for such a time as... Woo! Look at somebody and tell him it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. So he's given me everything I need. So I gotta be me. It's unfair for you to have a gift in one area and think less of me because I'm not gifted in that area. I can't function in that area. It's not what God has called me to do. He didn't gift me like that. So don't compare your kids, saying, I don't understand why she can do this and why you can't. Because he formed them in your womb, and he knew the plans that he had for their life. It's not fair to expect me to do what you do, because I don't have what you have. Hit somebody on both sides and tell them, I gotta be me. I gotta be me. I can't fight in your armor, Saul. I'm David. I got to fight in my armor. I know what works for me. And so if you've been trying to fight a battle in somebody else's armor, shake yourself loose and come out of it and tell them, absolutely not. I am determined from this day forward to be what God has called me to be. I cannot set my success gauge at somebody else's gift. I don't have what you have. I cannot set my success gauge at your calling, at your ability, at your resources. If we do that, we will never find real success. There is a tailor-made life for me, and there's a tailor-made success for me. Hit somebody, tell him I'm tailor-made on purpose. Do you understand? He's a master craftsman, and he has made you his masterpiece. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. Understand that you are his workmanship. The Greek word for the word workmanship is poema. Poema, that's what it is. Poema, which means a work of art. And what makes a work of art valuable? valuable is not when it's been duplicated, but it's the original that holds the value. Why is it? Because the original is the one that has been touched by the hands of the painter, the designer, the master craftsman. You have been touched by God. I said, you have been touched by God. And when you are functioning in the element that he has called you to move in, then nothing can stop you. And you are valuable. I don't care what you've been through. Nothing has the ability to take your value away. I could tear up, I could have a $100 bill in my hand, and I could wrinkle it up, and I could abuse it. But when it is all said and done, if I straighten it out, and I hold it up here, and I put it back together in, guess what? It's just as valuable as it was before it ever went through the abuse. Can I tell somebody here today, I don't know what you've been through, and I want you to know that it doesn't matter what you've been through, really, because you are just as valuable as the day God nodded his head and said, release her into the earth. Release him into the earth. Let me tell you something. He can take everything bad and work it together for your good. Why? Because you are a work of art. Tell somebody, I'm a work of art. You're sitting next to a work of art. Before you got here, he had plans for you. But let me tell you this, and I'll prepare to close with this. God will never force you into his plan. He might make it really hard for you to miss it, but he ain't going to force you into his plan because he's given you a free will. You can ignore it. You can forfeit it. You can walk away from it. You can totally miss it. And the sad commentary is that there, a lot of people do. Most people do. What it does is it leaves them living frustrated lives, unfulfilled lives, lonely lives, depressed lives. And it all happens whenever we try to live our life just because somebody else, in a way that somebody else wants us to live it. And we are not in our element. So when he said to him, Jeremiah, he said, before you were born, I had holy plans for you. What he was saying is, I got some stuff in mind for you. Look at your neighbor telling me he's got some stuff in mind for you. Okay, we automatically start thinking about, oh, but if he's got something in mind, why am I having to work so hard to figure it out? Look at somebody and tell him he's got stuff in mind for you. See, that's why it's so important that we know our shape, because our shape reveals God's purpose to our lives. It reveals his will for our life. The second thing it does is it causes us, it equips us to serve him. If you're taking notes, write that down. It equips us to serve him. Isaiah 49:5 said it beautifully. God formed me in my mother's womb to be what? His servant. And he commissioned me. So I got the commission in my mother's womb. That means before I ever got here, I was commissioned to be somebody. Woo! That's why everything I went through in my life hasn't been able to wipe me out, because there was a commissioning that came to me. Woo, hallelujah. I was commissioned to be somebody. I was commissioned to be your pastor. I was commissioned to stand here on this Sunday morning, July 22nd, and say to you, there is a shape for your life. You were commissioned to hear it so that you could go out of here and help somebody else who has the same commission, and they'll hear it in your voice. There is just something that when it's the deep calling unto the deep, you will hear it in conversation. Somebody will say something and it'll cause you to come alive. It'll cause you to lean in, and you will feel like, I've been here before. I've done this before. No, it's the deep calling unto the deep. He said he formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant. Okay, so before we talk about being commissioned, it said he formed me to be his servant. And then he commissioned me. That means he formed me with a specific mission in mind. And as I serve him, as I serve his interests, as I serve his church, as I serve his people, then I began to understand the commission that he has in mind for me. See, there is a mission. Somebody say, there is a mission. Say, there is a life mission for me on this earth. Say it again. There is a life mission for me on this earth. And as you serve God, he begins to reveal what that mission is. That's why we say serve him. Sign up and become a servant leader. Because as you serve him, you begin to understand who you are. I said, as you serve him, you understand who you are. You also understand who you are not. So whatever you do for him, you got to make sure you do it for him. Because that's what it's talking about, serving the Lord. He made me to be his servant. You're not doing anything you do for me. I appreciate it and I'm grateful because we need you. But at the end of the day, he is the one that reveals the mission. Pastor, I need you to tell me what the purpose of God is for my life. All I can tell you is your purpose is to serve him. And as you serve him, he'll show you what he has commissioned you to do before the foundation of the world. As you serve him, you find out your mission. And understand, God will never ask you to do something that he has not somewhere, somehow, put the wherewithal down inside of you. You might have to put a demand on it. You might not even know it's there. You might not even recognize it. I would have never thought I would have stood up here and talked to anybody. I didn't even like one-on-one conversations. But you know what? God started waking up that up inside of me. Why? Because I started serving him. And as I started serving him, he began to tell me what he had called me to do. So why here? Why should I care about knowing my shape? Because number one, it reveals the purpose of God to you. It equips you to serve the Lord. Here's the last one. It shows God's glory. Whenever you hit your element and you start doing what he has shaped you to do, it brings glory to God. Whenever you are in your shape, doing what he has commissioned you to do, I believe that it makes God smile. I believe that God sits there and he looks on us and he says, yeah, that's my guy right there. That's my dude right there. He's doing it exactly like I told him to do it. Yep, that's my girl right there. She's walking right up into that venue just like I told her to walk in. She's walking into a new arena, but she's doing it just like I told her to do it. Walking up in there with the confidence that she got from me. Confident and poised, doing it just like I told her to do it. Doesn't mean that she don't have some maybe feeling a little insufficient in herself, but she walks by faith and not by sight. He walks by faith and not by sight. You can't tell me that you start doing that and God doesn't look down and smile and get behind you and say, I'm getting ready to bless your life. He's going to do it because it brings glory to him. Whenever a leader leads like a leader is supposed to lead, it brings glory to God. When a father fathers like a father should, when a mother mothers like a mother should, when a church does what a church should do, when a family functions like they are supposed to function, it brings glory to God. So my question to you today is, what are you doing with the shape that God has given you? Are you using it? Are you abusing it? Look at somebody, tell him, get in shape because God is watching you. My question is, what are you going to do with the spiritual gifts he's given you, with the heart that he's given you, with the abilities, with the personality, with the experiences that he's given you? You have been through what you've been through for a reason. You either get bitter over it or you get better. I said you get bitter over it or you get better. You got to make up in your mind. I'm finished. Go ahead and play. You got to make up in your mind. I went through that. The point is, I went through it. I didn't stay stuck in it. God has chosen my life. I can't afford to stay there. He's given me gifts and talents. Let me tell you something. My greatest goal in life, God, let me say this. He will never compare you to anybody else. People do that, but they're ignorant. Okay? God will never compare you to anybody else. But what he will compare you to is the potential that he's put inside of you. You hear me? He'll compare you to the potential that he's put inside of you. Not to anybody else. Let me break it down like this. My biggest desire is not to be the greatest pastor in the entire world. My goal is to be the best pastor that I can be based on the talent, the heart, the spiritual gifts, the opportunities, based on the personality, based on all the things that God has given me, because that is the scale where he weighs my works. He doesn't weigh my works on the scale, on your scales. He weighs them on what he has given me. Oh, that's good to know, y'all. That means Billy Graham can stand and lead millions of people to Jesus Christ. And that means I can stand over here at the Potter's House North and open up the altars and every Sunday lead somebody to Jesus. And when we both stand before God, we're going to both get the same, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Chris really wrapped it all up last week and put a bow on it when he said, in order to be able to use your shape and your gifts and be in the perfect will of God, you have to accept how you are. That means you got to come into agreement. That means, okay, I don't look like you and it's okay. You ain't the standard in my life. God is the standard. I'm just different. That's how he made me. See, the world puts such... We have to accept how God made us. We have to receive all the things that come to us through the gift of salvation. And then we have to refocus. We have to stop looking outward and start looking inward. And not just looking inward, but looking upward. Because self-help books will tell you, oh, just look within, look inside yourself. There's a little bit of truth to that. But it's twisted when you don't add God to it. When you don't say, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, the one who formed you and made you. We're so busy. Our world puts so much emphasis on the outer appearance. It's in magazine covers. It's on billboards. It's in Hollywood. It's on online. It's everywhere you turn. But God says, in Samuel, he said, men look on the outer appearance, but I look on the heart. So you might be just the cutest little thing in here today on the outside. But if you have a nasty attitude, woo, your focus is in the wrong place. I'd rather borrow my sister's shoes and have to wear my sister's shoes, but come before God with clean hands and a pure heart. Hello. Turn the mirror on yourself. On the inside, say, God, more than anything, I want to function like you've ordained for me to function. I want to get in shape. Will you stand with me all over the building, everybody, everywhere? Come on, did you enjoy the word of God today? Are you determined to function in the shape that God has?